Pedro Pimps Pulp.
And welcome back to Pedro Pimps Pulp. That's right, we've been back after quite a little hiatus here.
Not as long as the last one.
Yeah, no, I mean, life, you know, life gets in the way. And, you know, we got to read shit, we got to focus on it. So we are back now with the last recommendation that I gave to Q, which was the Hickman and Patara Manhattan projects.
Yes.
So, in general, what this series is about is it really can be summed up with the catch line for the series, which is science bad. It takes real life scientists and characters from early about 1930s, starting off in the 30s. Eventually, the series keeps going through. Through history, I think it ended up like somewhere in the 60s where it's at right now. But it takes these famous scientists, and it supposes that the Manhattan Project that we all know about, the creation of the hydrogen bomb, that wasn't the only project. There are multiple projects, and there's some dirty ass shit going on. So
yeah, I believe one of the lines that they say when explaining what the Manhattan Project is we hide our most important lies underneath a more tolerable one, and the lie that was the tolerable one was the bomb, where they're doing other creepier, worse things underneath that.
Interesting, a sentiment that was in Stranger Things 2.
Yes,
well, that was repeated by the reporter. But yes, that's kind of your basic idea. And let me tell you, they go places very quickly in this comic. Now, I tried to not spoil as much stuff as possible for Q going into it, but there's some gnarly ass fucking shit that happens in this. Primarily, there's a cannibal who is one of your main characters who, he's quite fond of just eating everything.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's where it was going. So, it happens in the second issue. I read the trade, so but okay. In the second issue is where you figure out who he actually is.
What's wrong with Oppenheimer?
What's wrong with Oppenheimer? Because at the beginning they don't really give you all of that. And the art is really interesting. You had mentioned how it was in the last episode, how it was kind of going to be an ugly art. We talked about maybe how it was going to remind me of Alias and Preacher and things of that nature. I actually didn't think the art was... I get what you meant by ugly. The facial features, the wrinkles.
Like super exaggerated.
Super, super exaggerated. But I actually didn't mind the art. I actually like the art. And I like what they did with the colors.
This is such a heavily color, like really good use of color.
It's great use of color because they use the color to let you know when you're flashing back without having to... You already know when it's red, when it's blue, that you're in a different time with this certain character or another character, and those reds and blues become apparent of what that character, who that character is.
Which character is speaking, more specifically.
Well, and also in other flashbacks, what I noticed is, because they don't only do flashbacks with Oppenheimer, they do flashbacks with other, like, generals and things like that. Other scientists and stuff. And I realized, and I don't know if this will, I mean, it must be on purpose, but certain of them will be in red and others will be in blue, and the more negative the flashback is, it'll have more reds in it than it will blues, and so that kind of sets the tone. But obviously, spoiler alert, this is also only the first trade because we're gonna go right into it. It is super spacey, more spacey than I had anticipated.
Right.
And I didn't realize that that's what I was getting into until like I was knee deep in it. And I was like, oh,
that's
okay.
That's why I didn't want to load it. I didn't want to let your stance in science fiction as we know it. But that's because it's balanced with real life people.
Right.
I thought that might be a more interesting way for you to kind of get into this.
It was a weird thing to feel because it actually starts in 1942. It starts in 42. Which is in the World War II era of what it is that's happening with the Nazis and so on and so forth. And that happens to be one of my bigger historic fascinations is World War II and Hitler and the Nazis and the Holocaust and all of that. It was both great because I was just like, well, at least this is something that's really happening with this weird sci-fi twist. And at the same time, I was like, oh, but they're destroying the history in which I love, like the actual truths of the things that I like. So it was this, it was a, I was on two sides of the coin. I was just like, well, I can see why I should like this. And then I can also see where I'm like, but you're messing with my pretty little history. And I don't know how I feel about that. But Oppenheimer ends up, he's a twin. And so at the beginning, you get the understanding that, like, and you get this flashback where you kind of realize that one is good and the other one's bad or worse, but they're both extremely intelligent. And you don't know what's
they're
really
happening. They're both, like, absolute genius level.
Yeah, they're both genius level, but one uses their genius for good, and the other one uses their genius for not-so-good things. But at the beginning, you're figuring out that Oppenheimer's being hired to be on the Manhattan Project to help with the bomb, so on and so forth, and then you come to find out that that is not the good Oppenheimer, but yet the bad Oppenheimer who killed his brother and then ate him for his knowledge and then acted like his brother to be able to get the job that he got. So if you put this guy who's extremely intelligent in who's really a villain deep down inside in a position of power, like, I don't know, helping run the Manhattan Projects, shit's gonna go fucking down
south quickly.
Yeah, and at first I sometimes when I know that we're gonna be doing this, I'll try to, as I'm writing notes, you know, but sometimes, especially in trades, it'll be for shit because by the time I'm writing a note about something, when I read the next issue, it's like my question is answered or my thing is answered.
I saw the one note, damn, what the fuck?
Yeah, because I was talking about specifically the sequence of the twins when they're explaining each one of them. And before we get to know that Joseph has eaten Robert, he was eating an animal. And I wrote, eight fucking animals? What the fuck? Damn, what the fuck? But then he ate his brother, and I was like, I'm not writing any more notes, because now this is mute. It's like,
oh, never mind, so much for the animals.
Yeah, fuck the animals. He ate his actual brother. It was interesting to see real-life characters and depicted in a certain way. What they did with President Roosevelt was fucking crazy.
Oh, my God,
okay, so I definitely want to talk about that sequence, but first, if you're going to read this, yes, it's definitely heavy sci-fi, but within the realms of reality, if that makes any fucking sense, what it is that I just said. But in the realms of reality, we've got some sci-fi shit. It doesn't come in until a little bit later, and I will say that they ease you into it. You kind of already kind of realize that this science is figuring things out that maybe it shouldn't be fucking with, and that that could lead to something else.
And then they keep fucking with it.
And yeah, and then they put, and then every person that they ask just says to keep fucking with it, with the exception of fucking Truman.
Yeah.
He's the only one. They're like, don't do
what
anything.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. So you have Einstein who's in this, but they have him locked away in the room at the beginning, like staring at this block of cement. Was what you think it is. You think they have this. Honestly, when I first saw that panel, I was like, oh, Einstein's insane. And they've locked him up in this poor little room. And I'm not off completely, but they just thought that, like, they stuck this old man in a room when they were just like, fuck you, when I need you, I'll call you, and until then,
yeah, I don't, they definitely don't mention it, but, yeah, let's say they play with that. There might be a reason why Einstein's stuck in that room.
Oh, yeah, there is, and so there was some interesting things, though, that they did with the flashbacks that I thought were a little bit confusing. And I will say that some of the art with retrospects to faces is a little similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Oppenheimer looks a lot like another character that's in here, which later doesn't matter because that guy's gone. But I'm trying to remember the name of the character, but I do remember having some trouble with, like, they look really close together. It's a character that looks kind of like Spock.
Yes.
And I was wondering if that was also like a nod to Star Trek, the spacey aspect of it.
A slight nod, because that's an alien.
Oh, okay. So, but see, their facial features are similar, the way the curves of their ears and things like that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when they were doing flashbacks, because they don't give you a specific time, it's like then and now. And it's like a parental figure or an older figure with a younger person. You don't know if, like, I didn't know if I was watching what this general was when he was younger, or if I was watching him talking to his son. Like, there was an aspect of that when it came to Grooves or Groves that I was just like, is that you or is that your son? They make mention of the Bible, and then that's kind of where you link it. But still, I was still confused with regards to that.
Right.
Other than that, it was okay. I don't know that if I would pick up the second trade. Only because I feel like a lot of crazy happened in the last...
Yo, so much fucking crazy.
Like, so much so fast. I felt like the... Okay, so I mentioned that the door is there and Einstein is looking at this door and you don't know what the fuck it is. You don't even really know if it's a door. Turns out it's a door. It's a gate. It's a gateway. And it's a gateway to go to other fucking worlds and other fucking dimensions and shit like that. So, but I feel like they got to all of that way too fast. For me, personally. Mm-hmm. I felt like the young character, the young scientist that's there, figures it out really fast, yet Einstein, who's this brainiac, is staring at it forever. I know, but this is the problem.
I'm smiling because of just like, you know, like, there's a reason why.
Yeah,
that's
and there is. But why. I mean, it was frustrating me the whole time. And when it happened, I was just like, why? And I guess they did a good job. Okay, because what ends up happening is that Einstein is an Einstein. Einstein is another Einstein from another dimension who, when Einstein first created this door and he opened it, his doppelganger, or him in another world or another dimension, is on the other side coming through and he switches places. And so now we have an evil or darker.
Or it just alludes, a different
Einstein.
See, and that's one thing I actually do like about this is that there is the whole series is based off of moral ambiguity, because most of the people that are good, like in like the early parts of Game of Thrones, are usually eliminated pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They normally get killed. So it ends up just becoming shades of gray where there are people in this that are demonstrably fucked up. But because they're dealing with like by the end of this volume, intergalactic fuck ups.
Yeah.
You kind of need to fucking work with them. But it's all because of that central conceit of the human curiosity fucking with everybody.
And I'll give them a good credit in the sense that at the same time that I was being frustrated with why this smart-ass Einstein can't figure out how to open up his own fucking invention.
Yeah.
You kept flashing back. So they would show you that he was having trouble and trying to get this kid to open up the door, and then flashing back to when he was actually building it and what happened when he opened it. But I still had a little bit of like, okay. And I just felt like that character wasn't developed enough to be now this brainiac that opens up this thing for Einstein. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They had set up all these other people, this other governor, the Oppenheimer, all of that. More so than this arrogant young buck who was looking at himself in the mirror saying that he looks good, you're awesome, you're going to be fantastic. You know, like,
psyching himself up.
He was just psyching himself up. And then all of a sudden, in like a matter of like, I don't know, two pages and like three panels, he's like, and I opened up this thing that nobody else knew what the fuck you were staring at. Okay, so
the page that you have opened up to.
So a part that was probably one of my favorite parts about this is, so they have a lot of things going on at the same time, and this is also true to a certain extent of actual historical events that happened. So there is this whole thing that's happening as they're deciding that they're going to so they've created the bomb. They're getting to the point that they're either going to drop it or they're not going to drop it. Roosevelt is the one who knows about the Manhattan Projects and what they're really doing down there, and he kind of has the go-ahead. And then Roosevelt dies. And so they go to go get Truman. Now, Truman is at the George Washington Masonic Memorial, and he's dressed in white togas with like an Illuminati belt with Illuminati helmet with an Illuminati like staff, and there's people like praising and going crazy and killing sheep and all of this, and they're literally like running up to him like, hey, you gotta come with us, we gotta swear you in as president.
That keeps going.
Yeah. Does
that keep with not necessarily with Truman but with other presidents? Not necessarily this. You will see this conceit of people in power doing really fucked up things with like very specific shots of pulled back and then getting an idea of what's going on. Wait until you get to Kennedy. Some fucked up shit going on there.
Oh no. And he's one of my favorite. He was one of my favorite presidents. Only because I did a lot of reports on him. I don't know why I did.
And like later on, their view of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Pretty fucking funny.
Oh, that I can't wait to see.
So
I mean, that would
ridiculous.
I would want to see. So,
yeah.
But what is happening underneath? So this all happens right as we have to choose whether or not we're gonna fucking bomb Hiroshima. And so while this is happening, the general gets on the phone to then talk to Truman and be like, hey, by the way, you have no idea what it is that's going on. There's this thing called the Manhattan Projects. I can't even tell you all the details. I just need to know: do we drop this bomb or don't we drop this bomb? While that's happening, Manhattan Projects is trying to pull Roosevelt's memories out of his body so that he can technically still be alive in a computer
it's
screen
like an AI.
As an AI which is crazy. And so the general decides that he's not going to pay attention to Truman, who's like, no, don't drop the bomb. Don't drop the bomb. He decides he's going to drop the fucking bomb.
Fuck this. Drop
like,
the bomb.
Fuck you guys. I'm going to drop this bomb anyways. But then Roosevelt is still there, and he's in the computer with more logical thinking. And they make a comment about that. Like, well, he has better thoughts now than he ever did when he was actually like.
When he was in meat.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Okay. So then towards the end. Here we go. Apparently, these Manhattan Project people knew that things like, aliens exist and aliens were going to come and visit. And apparently they come and visit every year, and like the government has like some deal with them. And Roswell was a thing. They allude to like, hey, but that was a tragedy. Look what happened to you fuckheads there. And what ends up happening is these world leaders and scientists meet up with these aliens who are not the real aliens they were supposed to meet with. These aliens destroyed the aliens.
They conquered the other ones.
Yeah, they conquered the other ones. And then Oppenheimer, who has now this character.
This is evil Oppenheimer.
Yeah, this is evil Oppenheimer, whose brother still speaks to him while he's interacting with people, picks up that this is bullshit, that these aliens that are here are actually here to fuck him over. And what the aliens want is actually the fucking door that Einstein's been hiding from everybody.
Yeah.
And nobody actually knows that it exists. All of this is happening at the same time. So we've got these people who are meeting with the aliens who want the door, and nobody knows what the fuck the door is. While Einstein's telling this young buck, hey, open this fucking door because shit's going to go fucking down and I need this door open. And all of this is happening at the same time. And then boom, out of nowhere, Oppenheimer straight up kills that fucking leader alien, like out of nowhere.
Yep.
I believe he's just like, let's just get to the point already. Boom, boom. And just shoots him. I was just like, what the fuck was that? What I did like was the general asked no questions. He was just like, what the fuck? And then just grabs his gun and starts shooting fucking aliens.
He was just like, all right, we're popping off.
And he was like, I don't know what the fuck you just did, but what the fuck? And then when they turn around, Oppenheimer's eating the brain of the alien and shit pops off. So now Oppenheimer's this like multifaceted scientists with the brains and ideas and concepts of everybody
that he eats,
which is a nod to what we were talking about in our Talking Geek episode with Siler. So anyhow, and then we get to the point where, okay, we're gonna go over there and talk to these aliens because these aliens know that we just killed their motherfucking people. So now, hey, let's go through this door. Let's do that. And then what happens? Oh, we get over there and we're about to negotiate and fucking they kill all the aliens again because that's what America does.
Well, one specifically, there's one scientist who's a suit with a floating skull. I don't remember which guy it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, but he's basically a walking radioactive bomb.
Yeah.
And they use him
to
murk everybody around them so they can be in a position of power.
And it's so sad, too, because he's got the short end of the stick. He's this character who's...
He's a decent guy.
Yeah, he looks very much like Ghost Rider, but with radioactive. So imagine instead of flames, it's green.
Yeah.
You know, and he's in always like an astronaut suit type, like hazmat suit. And the poor guy seems to be like a good guy with just like shitty circumstances. And he literally is just like, well, you know, hey, let's talk about it. Boom! And he gets hit in the head so that the glass breaks and his guy...
No, 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 no.
Yeah, and he just... He's like, what have you done? And then everybody fucking dies. Except for one character who then comes out and basically tells these shitty Americans, go back to where you were. I want to say... what was it that he said that I wanted to quote? Not the best way to make your mark in the cosmos is the first thing that he says to these scientists. And then, yeah, so now you have Oppenheimer who's eaten a lot of people's heads. And now what you see in the last clip that I see here is Oppenheimer looking at the door and going through it. And at the end, it's a thousand of people in red. And so what we talked about at the beginning was that this comic book plays a lot with colors, and that when you see a character like Oppenheimer who has so many people he's eaten, let's say, and who's taken whose souls he's taken, they represent themselves as extra thoughts or other people in red when you have a frame or a panel of Oppenheimer. If his brother is talking to him, or even if the alien is talking to him, it'll be an overlay of red whenever that's happening. And the last sequence of that particular trade is Oppenheimer standing in front of the door and thousands of people in red behind him, which give me...
There are thousands of Oppenheimers.
No, specific. They're not all Oppenheimers. There's a chick in the back. Oh. There's a guy in a hat. So there's another chick on the side. So for me, it led me to believe that he sees himself in the future as somebody who is going to eventually kill and obtain all the knowledge of the world.
That is his goal, is to gain as much knowledge as possible. There's also a specific... that's why I thought it was at the very end, but there's a line that kind of gives away a future event that, like, I think it takes up most of a volume. Oh, my God, I can't find it. But the words Oppenheimer Civil War are mentioned. And...
Interesting.
That is something you keep in mind whenever you see Oppenheimer's visions. You keep in mind who is speaking to them and what color they are, because you'll notice there's one predominant color.
Yeah.
And when opposing thoughts come, it's another color.
They're blue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
which his brother tends to be the blue.
His brother is always the blue.
Yeah. But that's why I thought at the end I was just like, I wonder if this is leading to him going on a like cannibalistic rampage. And just eating everybody to have everybody's knowledge and everybody's everything, which is a very interesting... There's a lot of shit going on in this comic book for one trade. You've got historical situations, you've got a sci-fi spin to it, and then you have this weird, troubling, unsettling, like you're eating people, other people are okay with this, this science shit that you guys are pulling off is really fucked up. So it's a lot of emotions. I thought that they were just really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Where normally, it's weird, I usually have the opposite complaint. Like, this is just, the story took a long time to drag to get to the meat of it. And of course, the minute I get to the meat of it, it's always at the end of the trade when I don't have the next one to go on to. Because I'm usually reading them trade by trade. Where this one, I thought that it sped up really fast to almost to a point where sometimes it was like I said, with the younger Mr. Feynman, mm-hmm. Who's the younger scientist. I didn't feel like they built him up enough to be this guy who's working with quote-unquote Einstein to now be able to figure out. Could they have been...
Well, see, here's the thing. It's not quote-unquote Einstein. It is Einstein.
I know, but I guess it's not the Einstein that everybody knows. Like, it's a different version of Einstein, so that's why I'm using the quote-unquote as opposed to really calling him Einstein. I wonder if we're going to ever... Do we ever get the actual Einstein?
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I was wondering why... And they did a good job with Einstein specifically because he's so quiet for the first few chunks, and then every now and then he would say, like, just fucking do both of... Like, when he would say, like, some really evil shit... But he always did it subtly. Like, they were like, oh, you know, we're having this predicament. We don't know if we should build this bomb or that bomb. And I guess I always had this, like, idea that Einstein would be like, well, you know, we got to let's think about it. Maybe we should just only do this one because it's not as impactful. It won't kill as many people. And he literally first whispers under his breath, then just build both of them. And then he goes, just build both of them. Like, let's just kill everybody. And he's like, no, we got to do this right now. He unplugs Roosevelt from mm-hmm. the computer. Like he did fucked up shit. And I was just like, yo, Einstein, are you pissed? Like, how long have you been in that room? Like, is that what's happening?
Is that how you go fucking nuts being in that room?
Yeah,
that
like,
long?
Are you bored? And you're just trying to fucking fuck shit up. And then all of a sudden, now you've got this, like, epiphany of things. Like, I was wondering. But it was good. It was good. Not my go-to thing. It was well written. I didn't actually mind the art. I love the colors. The colors were great. Like we spoke in Wicked and Divine, I like when they fuck around with colors and they use that to their advantage for the advantage of the reader, really, to kind of have a better understanding of what it is that's taking place. That was good. There were some memorable quotes in there for me. I liked certain things about history. Other things, I was like, no, don't mess with that. Like, like, give me that. What was weird for me was, and this is where I'm nitpicking. There's an aspect where one of the generals for Hitler gets like a robotic cyborg arm. And I was just like, no, okay, like, no, that's too much, because people would have noticed that shit. Like, people would have seen that there's a fucking general walking around with a goddamn fucking RoboCop arm.
Well, the other thing, too, is that he gets the RoboCop arm when he's with the Manhattan Projects. So the thing is that... Remember, Nazis are persona non grata. So for him to even be working in the Manhattan Projects, honestly, the robotic arm is the least of his fucking worries.
No, it is. It is the least of his fucking worries. But still, nonetheless, I was just like, that's not going to be a thing. That would not be a thing. I'm not okay with that part of history. Stop it. Stop it. And then it was weird. They're getting attacked by the Japs at the beginning, and then the Japs drop this thing that allows 8,000 robots to come in, because it was like the idea that
a Dow gate.
Yeah, a Dow gate. So that threw me off at the beginning at first. I was just like, where the fuck are all these robots coming from? This didn't happen. Like, I didn't know where it was going. You didn't tell me how much sci-fi was going into it. So that's
why
thing.
I didn't want to give you.
You didn't want me to go in going. I'm glad you didn't. Because then it just let me cruise through it. And I mean, it was still a fast read. I didn't drag it. I didn't put it down and go, oh my God, here we go again. Like, no, I finished it. It was the story was interesting enough and paced well enough in that aspect that it continued to read. I just, for somebody who likes character development, show me why Mr. Feynman is smart enough that he can do this.
Right.
I would have expected Oppenheimer to figure that out. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I actually was waiting for Oppenheimer to eat Einstein to figure out what the fuck was going on with the door.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was expecting to happen. So that was it.
And I honestly would ask you eventually to continue with this, because it does enough weird shit with history, and you like history,
yeah,
that you'll be like, oh, that's fucking weird.
Okay, I mean, again, I mean by not my go-to is, like, I wouldn't have ever picked this up.
You wouldn't
have
picked it up on your own.
I would have never picked this up on my own. Never would have happened. And because there's so little on the actual trade of information, like,
they don't tell you a lot.
They don't tell me shit that I would have had to probably have flipped through. I would not have picked it up. Or maybe I would have if I would have seen enough Nazi symbols because of
like,
my fascination. I would have been,
yeah,
like, wait a second.
Oh, I guess it's a World War II book.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe for that. But other than, I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, out of a 10, I would give it like a 7. I would give it a solid 7.
Yeah.
It was interesting. The art wasn't bad. And for me, it's just, again, I would give it notches down just because of the amount of sci-fi, even though it's not overly the top. And yet again, I like Saga. So I'm a very weird unicorn,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'm very, very glad I didn't give you that heads up before.
Yeah, I'm glad that you didn't either, because I can see myself lagging to want to read it if I already have that preconceived notion that this is what's happening, that it's like Nazi space Nazis,
yeah,
you know, in a way. I've been unhappier with other things. Like, I actually enjoyed this more so than I enjoyed other books that you've had me read. I actually enjoyed this one almost more than I enjoyed the second series of Wicked and Divine, because that one was really slow paced.
Yeah,
me.
It was a very slow paced.
That
book.
That one picked up at the
and
end for our second
and
volume.
It also picks up in the third volume. That's the thing, is that one feels very much like a transitional one, whereas, especially,
yeah,
with how it ends and then how the next one begins.
And I think that's what happened, is like, this one was really grabbing and intriguing from the beginning, and so was Wicked and Divine. And so when I read volume 2, that it hit this lull, and then that one took me longer to read because I was like, oh my God. And they didn't do as good of a job of reminding you of what had happened and so on and so forth. And there's so many fucking characters. This, I think, it did a much better job with respect to that. So yeah, I'd give it a 7.
Excellent.
A nice 7.
So now, for the next episode, I will be giving you another book by Brian Vaughn.
Okay.
Who does Saga.
Yes.
Called The Private Eye. Now, this is actually a complete volume. It is a one-volume series. This was, I think, a series of 5 or 6 issues that he released, not issue to issue. It was actually designed only for digital.
Oh, okay.
So it fucks around with a lot of page stuff, but eventually, I don't remember who he was talking to, but they talked about doing an actual print run, so they did, like, I think only 1 or 2 pressings of it for Image. Image decided to publish it. So this is a long book. It's not actually like a normal,
right,
trade.
Okay.
And so you'll have some really interesting art pieces because remember, whenever you look at a page, it wasn't designed for a page. It was designed for digital. So,
right.
But yeah, so that'll be what I give you next time, and it might be a little bit longer because this is, like I said, like a... This is a complete series.
Well,
so
one, it's a complete series. It's a longer book, and we're going to be hitting up the holidays. So finding,
yeah,
time to read may
be
a little bit more difficult. Actually, no, because I'll be leaving to New York. And so I will have a good 2
there
hours in a plane.
Absolutely.
To fucking read. So that might be it. So yeah, guys, check it out. Again, it's Manhattan Projects. If you want to check this out, it's by Image Comics. I gave it a 7, which is a good score in my repertoire of shit. And that's pretty much it.
Well, there you go. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.